You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, powered by Diaga.ie and proudly sponsored by Flomax. Be sure to check out our brand new website, BetweenTheStripes.ie, while you can find us on Twitter at Between Stripes or on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Now, here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Jonathan Breyer.
Hello everyone, welcome once again to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, Series 2, Episode 24. It's an FAI Cup quarterfinal special. Kieran Burke in studio with John Breyer.
Well, good evening Kieran, how's things?
Good stuff John, big cup weekend ahead, particularly for our own Longford Town, live on the television for the first time I can remember ever, in my time following the club anyway. Some other cup ties there, Dundalk going down to Limerick once again. They gave them a good game in the league, so that should be an interesting one. And UCD versus Waterford has the makings of a bit of a classic. But loads of other talking points tonight, but before we start running through anything, John, I'll let you run through tonight's big name guests.
Yeah, well, we're going to try and cover as much as we can with the cup fixtures. So we're going to talk to Longford Town manager Neil Fenn.
Cork man, of course, a league winner down there in 2005, so
we're going to be asking him his thoughts on the cup match and also about the future of Dylan McGlade.
Yeah, and Neil is a manager that a lot of people are keeping an eye on at the moment because he's done very, very good things with Longford Town. So, you know, if he could pick up a big result here, it certainly would get his name in the headlines. And from going forward from there, you never know what the future could hold for Neil Fenn. So it's a big game for himself. It's a big game for Longford Town. But of course, he stressed it in his interview with us that while this is a great occasion for the club, John, all the focus is on next week's trip to Drogheda in that promotion showdown. So some interesting thoughts from Neil Fenn, and you'll hear that shortly.
Dundalk travel to Limerick, and we'll be speaking to injured captain Stephen O'Donnell about his recuperation.
My favourite player to watch in the league, John. Just great on the ball, a real warrior, a real leader. So it's heartbreaking to see him out injured again for the majority of this season. And we're hoping he can get back and play some role in what looks like it's going to be a league title win for Dundalk, John, after the results at the weekend. And we'll be speaking about that shortly. But I know there's a lot of emphasis on Dundalk winning the cup this season after relinquishing the last couple of years to Cork. So a big cup tie down at the Markets Field for them.
Yeah, Darien Bowes is postponed, Kieran, due to international call-ups. Yeah. So the final quarterfinals between UCD and Waterford. We've guests from both clubs, so we'll be talking to UCD manager and league leader, obviously, at the moment in Division 1. In the first division, Colly O'Neill.
Yeah, and Champions Elect, you could argue, now only 1 point away, and they play the side that is closest to them in the league, Finn Harps, in a couple of weeks' time at the UCD Bowl, and a point there will secure the title for UCD. So great to get Colly O'Neill on the show. And we have Paul Elliott, the Waterford FC fan, and he had some great views on a lot of discontent, John, among the fans down there at the moment. Some looking for Alan Reynolds to resign at the end of the season, which I find very strange.
Well, you've just got to ask yourself what the fans want down in Waterford, because they got promoted last season, and this season they're flying high, they're fourth in the league, they're in the quarterfinal of an FAI Cup. Surely that's good enough, the first season in the Premier League?
I mean, you just have to go back a couple of seasons where it looked like Waterford were going to totally go out of League of Ireland football. So I think short memories there, certainly some Waterford fans have. But I think Paul gave us a much more balanced view in his interview we recorded a couple of moments ago, and we'll be airing that for you shortly. But John, let's kick on. We'll be discussing Ireland as well later on, Bowes 19s, and a strange move for a former Bowes man as well to Larne. And we're going to be revealing a bit more on that later on. But let's start with Dundalk's win away in Limerick at the weekend, 1-0, a Michael Duffy goal.
Yeah, and I think I'd called Limerick a first division team last week, Kieran, but I think I did them a bit of an injustice after this performance, because they had chances against Dundalk, and it wasn't as one way as we all thought it might be.
Yeah, I took you to task on last week's show, John, about those comments. I feel Limerick, they're preparing themselves now for the playoffs. I think they know themselves that's where they're going to find themselves at the end of the season. So they're playing a little bit without pressure in these league games. And I think that was certainly something a lot of people picked up on in their performance. And there's a lot of young players coming into that side. And Carlos Sullivan's one that's really catching my eye, John. So good performance from Limerick. Missed a couple of chances. And even Stephen Kenny post-match, he praised the Limerick performance. So if they can keep putting in performances like that until the end of the season, I don't think results really matter now at this stage. It's going to be good momentum going into the playoffs.
Yeah, and it was O'Sullivan, funny you should mention him, was shot at the keeper after a great run from Ellis early on. Like I say, Limerick had the chances, and then Coleman had a header from a what can only I can only describe as an absolute monster of a throw-in. I've never seen anything like it. Have you?
It's quite a weapon, but Coleman's another one that's really caught the eye. I don't think he'll be at Limerick next season.
Yeah, Hooban had a good chance, but he got forced a good save from Holland. But the deciding goal came from Michael Duffy, who's there's been a few question marks about his future in the press this week. He nearly also got a second, but for Holland making a good save. But, you know, Limerick, they could have had a penalty at the end. What did you think? Morrissey making a bit of a meal out of it? I think if he hadn't gone for the theatrical, it looked a bit theatrical to me.
That's, I think, what done him there. I think the theatrics cost him there. But, look, we might as well, we'll be bringing your interview now with Stephen O'Donnell in a second. But before we go to that, what a dramatic turnaround in the league title race. Cork were one up against Sligo. Dundalk were struggling to break Limerick down. 0-0, looked like Cork were going to close the gap. And then out of nowhere, two Sligo goals. And now Dundalk are racing away with the league title, it seems.
Yeah, 45 minutes, a short time in football, isn't it?
Unbelievable.
So, should we go to the interview then?
Yeah, we'll go to the interview. Stephen O'Donnell joins us on the line now, folks. Okay, folks, so we're joined on the line now by the captain of Dundalk FC. Of course, they're looking good for the league title after those results at the weekend, and they have a huge FAI Cup quarterfinal coming up. They once again travel to Limerick on Friday night. And we're joined on the line now by the Dundalk FC captain, Stephen O'Donnell. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, boys. Thank you.
So, Stephen, first of all, how is your own recovery coming from the injury?
Yeah, I suppose everything's going as expected, going to plan. I'm back to see the surgeon on the 28th, I think, of September. So hopefully that'll be the last time to see him, and then I can crack on with my kind of recovery. But everything is going to plan at the minute. There's been no real setbacks, touch wood. So hopefully it stays like that.
And in terms of maybe a date of return, has anything been set?
No, it's too kind of varied. You know, I'd have to probably get back all out, doing full out training myself with Danny Miller and that physio, and then get back into training with the group, and then you'd just be hoping that there's no kind of setbacks at that stage. So it's kind of too hard to predict at the minute, but I suppose just keep taking each day as it comes, and, you know, trying to recover as quick as possible.
And with the team doing so well on the pitch at the moment, going great guns in the league and looking good to perhaps reach yet another FAI Cup final, how frustrating has it been sitting on the sidelines?
That's always frustrating when you're injured and you can't kind of help, or you can't contribute as much as you'd like. But I suppose, you know, it'd be more frustrating if you couldn't really help with the team were losing and that. But it'd be good to see the lads doing very well. Obviously, you'd want to be involved yourself with these things happening. You sort of have to take it on the chin and try and get yourself as ready as possible for when you do come back.
Is there no hope of seeing you this season then, Stephen?
It's kind of too hard to predict, in the sense of you'd need kind of everything going your way, and by the time you're back probably to full fitness and back up to match fitness, you know, the season will probably be over. So you know, I'm just concentrating on getting my knee sort of as strong as possible, and then anything else after that is a bonus. So I'll just take it as it comes, and you know, you never know come the last couple of weeks of the season how you're faring out, but I suppose the key is to put yourself in that position where best possible position of maybe having a slight hope of playing one or two of the last league games, or if you got to a cup final, of maybe training even ahead of training with the lads, getting preparation for a cup final. So that's sort of my main goals at this moment in time.
Hey Stephen, let's talk about this fixture against Limerick. You played them last weekend, and it was closer than I think a lot of people thought, just a solitary goal between the two sides. You know, how impressed were you with Limerick this season?
Yeah, Limerick done very well actually on Friday. They sort of sat in deep. They had a lot of homework done, obviously, and a lot of team shape, and then they worked on it. They had a good shape about them, and sat in kind of deep on us with a lot of people behind the ball and trying to play in the counter. But they were very good. I suppose they have a lot of sort of good young players that have come up through, and you know, judging by last Friday's performance, you wouldn't have, if you had asked people, you wouldn't have expected them it to be second bottom, you know. So they were very good last Friday, and we know we have to be on our mettle come this Friday, you know, with a chance to get into the Cup semi-final, because Limerick showed last Friday they can be very competitive against us, and you know, had a couple of half chances also on the break.
Yeah, they did, and I suppose from Limerick's point of view, the set pieces they seem to be pretty good at. They've a real long throw in the locker, haven't they, and they seem to be quite good from corners and things, so that'd be something you'll be looking out for.
Yeah, definitely we'd identify. I think it's Wilson Fitzgerald that has the long throw.
I've never seen anything like it. It's huge.
Quite a long shot, right?
he gets serious distance and it lands around the penalty, the mm. penalty spot. So, you know, long throws always cause a bit of consternation, I suppose, and a bit of confusion. It's a ball getting launched into your box, you know, with a lot of bodies in the box. So sometimes from a long throw, and that it's very hard to get a clear header away, you know, a free clear header away. And so there's a lot of second balls and balls dropping in the box. So yeah, we're going to have to be on our mettle with set pieces, as you said. So something we've kind of work on a lot. So Friday will be no different. We'll have our men assigned to pick up different players and how to defend the long throw and that. So hopefully that's not an issue.
And I'm sure you're not getting ahead of yourselves down in Dundalk in terms of this league title. There's still a long way to go and there's still that very difficult trip to Turner's Cross to come. But a league and cup double is something you rarely see in any leagues. It's something very difficult to do. Obviously, Dundalk done it before under Stephen Kenny in 2015. But do you feel there's a real emphasis on winning the cup again this season?
Yeah, the cup's huge. The cup's always huge. You know, we've quarter final on Friday, a chance to get within two games, a game of playing in the Aviva and two games, if you win them, of lifting the trophy, you know. So the cup is massive. We always have a big emphasis on the cup. You know, as you said, it only takes, I think it's five games to get to the, or four games to get to the Aviva. So, you know, it seemed a long way away at the start of the season getting to a cup final or that, but in reality, it actually isn't that far away. You win four games and you're there. So that's something we're looking to do. And, you know, we're going along the right lines, but there's still a long way to go in both competitions. The league is far from over. There's still going to be twists and turns. Very rarely you go and win a league, you know, without any hiccups or that. So that's a long way from being over. And all this talk will just be hot air if we go down on Friday night and Limerick turns over.
One other thing I just wanted to ask you, Stephen, was obviously Michael Duffy's had a great season this year, but there's some talk about him, you know, maybe looking elsewhere next season. Have you heard is there much hope of Dundalk re-signing him for next season?
Yeah, obviously I'm privy to that kind of talk. You know, that's between Michael and the club. But it's kind of a double-edged sword in Ireland. You want players and individuals to do very well, because obviously you'll help your team go and achieve things. But also, if that happens in Ireland, you know, you need to set yourself open to your best players getting signed, as we've seen that in previous years. So Mickey's had a great season, and all the talk anyway does, it's definitely not affecting his performances on the pitch. So, you know, I think there's always hope now, where the way Dundalk are as a club and how stable they are. I think there's always hope for Dundalk of keeping their best players, and hopefully we can achieve that with Michael. I'm sure he'll have offers, but you know, Dundalk offers him. He knows he's well valued here, and you know, he's obviously thriving. He's really enjoying it. He's really settled. He gets on well, brilliantly, with the rest of the squad. So hopefully that will play a part in his decision.
Yeah, hopefully, because he's had a super season, and it's always a shame when, you know, we talk about strengthening the league, and like you said, when we see players go off across the water or play abroad, you know, instead of staying, it does weaken the league, and it does take time to bed in new players and things. So I think we're all hoping that you know, we keep our best players in the league for next season.
Yeah, definitely. Even as a product itself, you want to see the best players stay in the league to attract more people to the games, you know, get more crowd in. You know, Michael Duffy's the type of player to get people on the edge of their seats, you know, and he's dribbling and running at people and delivering great balls in, or great individual goals, like you saw with the volley at the back stick against Nevada Italian. So they're the players you want to keep in the league. They're the players that attract sort of the new viewers and bigger attendances in the league. So the more them kind of players you can keep, even just for the league, not just for Dundalk, for the league as a whole, the better.
Stephen, pleasure having you on as always. Thanks very much for joining us, and best wishes for the rest of the season and with your recovery.
Thanks a million, boys. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Stephen.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
So as ever, thanks to Stephen O'Donnell for joining us on the line. Great to hear from him, and we're wishing him a speedy recovery, because as I said earlier in the show, John, just a great player to watch, and he's been a great professional for the League of Ireland. But let's go to Turner's Cross. Quite an astonishing result. Is this the weekend we're going to look back and think, yeah, that's where it got away from Cork City?
Yeah, well, in my notes, Kieran, I've got here, could this be the end of the title challenge for Cork? So I'm thinking it possibly is at this stage. I know there's quite a bit of football to be played yet, but Dundalk's running looks easier. But let's talk a little bit about the match first. Cal Shepherd it looked to be going the right way for them. He opened the scoring early on after a free kick from McNamee, but I suppose it all changed in the second half, this one. It was a completely different story. The Wrighton, you know, there was a bit of an early warning when Cal Shepherd headed off the line. And then the other end, sadly, hit a free kick, which hit the post. And he seems to be so unlucky at the moment. He's always hitting the woodwork.
He didn't start the game, I think, I'm right in saying, John.
No.
Very strange.
Well, there's something quite not right down there. So, but just going back to the match, David Cawley equalised after, you know, McNulty. He only parried a free kick.
Let's not sugarcoat it, John. Terrible mistake from McNulty. He's not having a good season at all for Cork.
Yeah, and then McLear, he set up Raf Kataro, who broke free, and he blasted in through the keeper to make it 2-1. And what a result. And Raf Kataro, he just keeps defying the age, doesn't he?
Yeah,
the
years. Let's go back to that goal, John. Could you believe how much space he had? One simple pass takes out the entire back four of Cork. He has the freedom of Turner's Cross to himself. He takes a couple of touches to just ease himself up and to make McNulty...
He could have had a brew.
Yeah,
he could have had a cup of tea by the time he took to shot.
I think reading into it, what you're seeing there is Cork have equalised. They've panicked. They've thrown everyone forward trying to get that crucial winner, and they've left themselves totally exposed at the back. And when you think of the big professionals and the experienced players in that side, it's very, very hard to believe that's happened. I think Cork have simply cracked under the pressure there.
Right, well, I'm going to talk to you about a couple of issues that I've got with Cork. I think they were last season's champions, but to me, they've two problems this season, and that's been the goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Because I don't think McNulty's had a good season.
No, not at
His
all.
Standing's not good enough, neither. So, to me, that's a real weakness. And the second one is Caulfield himself.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happened with Sadlier. He doesn't seem to want to pick it. He doesn't seem to want to start him. He uses him off the bench.
I think it's to do with the style of play, John.
Yeah, I think it's two route one.
I think, yeah, definitely. I think you have to look at someone like McNamee there. I know he's playing a lot more than Sadlier, but he's definitely not bringing out the same type of performances that we've seen at Derry City. I went and seen Cork in the very first game of the season, the President's Cup, and their second half performance against Dundalk was absolutely fantastic. They were so explosive. They were direct, but they weren't long ball at the same time. It was good attacking football, very attractive to watch. We've seen a total change now in the league and especially in Europe, where they just went out with a whimper. It's very, very
about
root,
Europe, the better.
Yeah,
for
it's
them.
Very, very route one football. The fans aren't happy watching it. I know when the results are going well, you're not going to hear as many grumbles of discontent. But when the results start going like this, you're certainly going to hear critics raising their head up now. And I think Caulfield's a man under pressure, which is hard to believe after the last couple of years.
I think Cummins has gone off the boil a little bit as well, which hasn't helped things. So, you know, we've seen he's brought in a couple of he's been playing different strikers in there. Josh Hanlon's been having a run, and you know, so there has been issues around the goal.
Delaney's come in and he looks a shadow of the player that we know.
Yeah, it's just I don't think it's all right there.
No,
and certainly now, you know, I'm gonna ask you the question: is it the end of their title challenge?
I've been analysing this very closely the last couple of days because there's been a lot of commentary on Dundalk haven't already wrapped it up, and we should probably say that it's actually a 7-point lead, not six, because that goal difference is huge.
Heavy, yeah.
But people have been saying, I know they said it on Soccer Republic this week, that they think Dundalk's running is easier. I actually don't agree with that. I think it's much of a muchness, and it could be argued Cork actually have the slightly easier running because they have the likes of Bray in their last remaining fixtures. For me, as far as I can see, it's going to go down to this game at Turner's Cross. If Cork can win that, they cut the gap down to 3 to 4 points. They have the momentum. Maybe Dundalk start to wobble. That's their only real chance. If they don't get a win in that game, then yes, it is over.
I think it's a lot to ask to come back from 7 points. Well, it is 7 points with a goal difference with six fixtures left, is it?
Yeah.
So that is a big, big ask. But stranger thing that happens. But I think they'll be keeping a real eye on the cup this season, where they'll play our own Longford Town. But we'll come to that a little bit later. And we're going to talk now about Shamrock Rovers, who had a good win at Bray, 3-0, and a great crowd at the Carlisle grounds. Having said that, a good, decent away following from Rovers.
Yeah, but still
there.
A big, big improvement on what we've seen. We only have to go back a couple of months to remember crowds of 300 or 400 at the Carlisle. So, real positive there. Fair play to Niall O'Driscoll. We had him on the show recently. Spoke very positively. Seemed to have a lot of ideas about how to improve that negative atmosphere that's surrounded the club for the last couple of years. And it seems to be bearing fruits now.
I think it's been like a breath of fresh air there, hasn't it, Kieran? I mean, the incentives they've been doing to get families and children in and... women in and all sorts, free ice creams, the lot, you know, they're novel approaches to
matches. Just need to get the free beers in for me and you there now.
Well, I don't think we're the clientele they're looking for, to be honest.
And just obviously with Gary Cronin coming in there as well, he was at the Longford game on Saturday night, and great to see him there, a real gentleman, still very fondly remembered down in Longford, and everyone wishing him all the best with Bray. But it was a comfortable win for Rovers here in the end.
Yeah, and Bray had a couple of early chances, but they were really half chances, and it was pretty much one-way traffic. Dan Carr set up Ronan Finn for the opener, and I think we criticised the Rovers midfield quite a lot recently, but the likes of Finn and Bolger, they had decent games in this one, but like you said, it is only Bray.
I think
Bray.
Watts coming in has had a lot to do with that, particularly Finn. We're starting to see him chipping in with a couple of goals now, but Watts seems to be creating a lot of chances.
Yeah, the clearance off the line, that prevented a second, but it came eventually a clumsy challenge, and that gave Dylan Watts the chance to blast home a penalty to make it 2-0. Even Moran, he continues to impress in the Bray goal. He made a great save from a free kick, but it was 3-0 when a man who's had a pretty quiet season, Brandon Mele, he finished a nice move.
But 3-0. Disappointed with him this season.
Yeah, he's not been the force he's been previously.
A couple of seasons ago, a lot of people were talking about him as being one of the next big stars to go to England, but it just hasn't materialised.
Yeah, I think he came over from, was it Newcastle, I think it was.
I'm not sure. No.
And certainly had a couple of good seasons, but he's not been the same player this season. But look, 3-0, but they never really had to get out of second gear. Rovers in this
just
one.
On Bray, I'm glad you've brought up their goalkeeper Evan Moore in there, because he's really impressed me this season. I think he could be one of the silver linings for Bray in terms of his performances, and the only thing, they might struggle to keep a young goalkeeper like that now.
Yeah, well, goalkeepers are always in demand. I can think of a few clubs, you know, in the Premier Division that would fit with Moore and the way he's playing. But I think from Gaz Cronin's point of view, We know, we've talked about it before, we know he's not enough quality in that squad, has he? It's too young. They've lost too many players, and he's too many there who have played for other clubs and they're not Premier League standard. So I think he's got a real tough job on his hand, because he's going to have a huge rebuild to do.
And you just don't know in terms of finances what they're going to have really to play with next season.
And they could struggle in the first division next season.
It's a tough league to get out of. I think Longford fans know that, having spent 7 years there before their promotion, and they've been down there for 2 years now. And Waterford spent 10 years down there. Shells have been down there forever. Drogheda have been in and out of it. Yeah, it's a tough lead to get out of him, and Bray may find that out next season, but obviously we're hoping they can have a good campaign, and Bray can start to rebuild after some really troubling times there. But let's move on to our next fixture, John. And Derry were defeated at home at the Brandywell 2-0 against Bowes.
Yeah, well, Bohemians are in seriously fine form, Kieran, at the moment, and that continued against a Derry side that's really struggling at the moment.
We've spoken about things maybe not been right at Cork. I know we've raised it several times. We don't feel things are right at Derry, and this was another result that would wave a lot of issues.
Yeah, and Dinny Corcoran opened the scoring in what, first minute?
Great goal, but how can the defender be that poor in the first minute of the game?
Yeah, Dan Kelly set that one up.
Players had left their heads in the dressing room, obviously, for the first 30 seconds.
Yeah, Keith Waugh, he had a couple of trademark long shots.
Had a very good game again.
He did, yeah. To me, there's no better midfielder when he's on form in the league.
Great to watch as well, yeah.
Love the way, you know, he's...
trickery, low centre of gravity, can score from long range, can see a pass out wide, can play the short passes around the corner. Just a great player to watch.
Yeah, they could have gone on at half-time on level terms, but Seaborn, he should have equalised from a header. He was unmarked, and he headed
Was the
over.
Angle slightly against him?
Possibly, he was slightly leaning back, wasn't he? But to me, you've got to hit the target still, Kieran.
He's a player you raised when he signed for Derry, that you'd seen him play in England previously before. How do you feel he's done overall?
Not great, to be honest. I don't think there's been much of a strengthening in that back four.
Their defensive record is appalling.
The problem Seaborn has, he's not played a lot of football. Mm. And okay, yeah, he was rated, but that was a long time ago when he was Southampton and Coventry and Yeovil. You know, he came highly rated, but you know, a lot of time's passed since there, and
take him a season to bed in.
Yeah, but there's a reason he's found himself out of Exeter and you know, and Derry. We're going back to the likes of Adam Morgan and things. There's a reason these players fall down the league and then end up over here as like a final chance saloon. So it's for me, it's not working at the moment, but I suppose it's early days. It's going to take
From a Bowes point of view, fantastic victory, and they're going to be looking to repeat that in the cup meeting when that eventually takes place.
Yeah, well, the second half, Derry, they flashed a couple of shots wide, but the second was from Daniel Kelly. He got the second as Seaman. He failed to make a tackle and he shot under Jay Doherty, you know, for the second. And yeah, that's what I was saying about Seaman. It was a bit, he wasn't strong enough for that one. You know, he had to get the tackle in at that stage with Daniel Kelly coming down. You know, he's on good form since his move, so they had to stop that. Derry had a deflected shot that hit the post, and Aaron McAniff forced a decent save out of Shane Supple. But Bowes should have made it 3-0 after a scramble, but they had to settle for 2-0. But I have to say, Bowes in that first half, they looked as crisp as any side that I've seen this season.
I think Derry made it very easy for them. They sat off, they let Bowes play. Nice surface there. I think teams are enjoying going to the Brandywell, and that's not a good thing because it's always been an intimidating ground to go to, but the playing surface up there just really makes for attractive football, and a side like Bowes that were
absolutely
going there
full of confidence.
Yeah, full of confidence and good form, good momentum, good results behind them, then I think it fell right into their hands.
It did, yeah. And look, the way they're going, it's a shame the season started quite poorly for them, because the form that they're in at the moment, it's Europe form, isn't it?
Bowes fans are looking at it now as a positive that they're ending the season strong, and maybe they can carry that into next year and get back to that top five, top six that they've experienced the last couple of years. But I have a real concern now that they're not going to be able to keep a lot of these players and they don't have the finances to be able to. We've seen Watts make his choice. I know he was only on loan at Bowes, but he had the chance to stay there. Could have gone to Dundalk. He chose Rovers. That's the issue they're going to face from a Derry point of view then as well. They're kind of in the same boat. They obviously have more cash to play with than Bowes. But a player like McAniff, I mean, if Dundalk come calling, can he really turn that down? It's hard for these clubs to close that gap on the top sides.
Yeah, and we know that is the issue with Derry, isn't it? They're losing the best players. And Bowes, you're quite right. Can they compete? Probably not with the biggest clubs in the league, because they're still part-time status as well. But anyway, we won last match to cover, and that was Pat's 3-0 victory over Waterford. Quite a surprising one there. Waterford have just hit a little bit of a sticky patch, and they've let Rovers really take the upper hand in the battle for third place.
Yeah, two sides here that are having up and down seasons. We described Pat's as flaky on the show last week when we were making our predictions, but what a result this is. 3-0, John.
Waterford, they had a couple of half chances early on, especially from Puri, but they were making mostly long efforts.
Long range, yeah.
Yeah, the second half, different story though. Ian Birmingham shot just wide, and Darren Markey had a shot blocked by, but that fell to former Yeovil Town trialist Akhil Campion. I have to get the gloves in somewhere. Yeah. He opened his account up for Pats 1-0. Mick Lee, he headed in from a corner, and he made it 3-0 as well. And I just thought it was a really poor match from Waterford. And, you know, I'd just be concerned their season's going to go really downhill from this stage.
I think a cup victory this weekend, very, very important. And it leaves that European window still open in terms of getting in through the cup. But they'll obviously hope it'll give them momentum in the league and that they can try and close down Rovers. Because Rovers are another side that's been extremely inconsistent this season. So the battle for Europe will go on. But we're going
to
bring...
I have to say, first of all, though, just before we go to our interview, Kieran, press with Pats. Good performance,
but at the end of the day, what good is it now, really? They're going to qualify for the Iron Brew Cup next season, maybe?
Well, they
turned down the invitation this year, so will they do the same next year? Very disappointing season from Pats. I've heard on a couple of podcasts recently, maybe discussions about Liam Buckley. Is it time for a change? Time to freshen things up? Your point of view on that, John?
I'm not so sure. I think they maybe just need to back him a little more. But I mean, he is Mr. Pats, isn't he? So
maybe we might get a Pats fan on the show in the next couple of weeks, because I think that's something a Pats fan maybe should have a say on, instead of us. That's an outsider's point of view. We'll get the feeling from inside Richmond Park. But we're going to bring you our latest interview now. It's a fan interview. We're joined on the line by Waterford FC fan Paul Elliott. So we love fan interviews here on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. And we're joined now by a Waterford fan, a Waterford FC fan. Paul Elliott is on the line. Paul, welcome to Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
Good evening, lads. Thanks very much for having me on.
So, Paul, it's a strange one, really. I keep a very close eye on Waterford online because a very passionate fan base down there, and I think everyone would agree the success of the club over the last year and a half, 2 years, has been great to see after some dark times over the last decade or so. I was very surprised to see a lot of negative commentary towards Alan Reynolds as manager, and some supporters seem to feel that maybe his time is up now and he can't take the club any further forward, which is strange when you consider the promotion last season, still in the hunt for Europe and in the quarterfinal of the Cup now. So I'd love to get your views as a supporter on Alan Reynolds and his performances as Waterford FC manager.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head there when you said that we're still in going for a European place, we're still in the cup, the club is on a sound footing, plenty of good players in the club, huge support down here. People will always be picky and picking at bits and pieces, and it's always somebody's fault. But I've been at all the Watford matches, both home and away. The support has been fantastic. But you know yourself, when you get a defeat, people look for somebody to blame. They're blaming Rennie, which is totally unfair. As somebody who won his promotion, got sent to third place. Okay, we're in fourth now, but I do believe we'll win our up-and-coming two home games. And I think Rovers will slip up and go down to the game and tell it to see who'll get third or fourth place. So from my point of view, and a lot of people down here, I notice people online who would be giving out, but the majority of supporters are delighted with the progress that the team made, the club has made, and the manager Alan Reynolds has made.
Yeah, just in the last couple of weeks on our show here, myself and John have actually been discussing Waterford FC going forward over the next couple of seasons. And we feel out of all the clubs in the league at the moment that Waterford are perhaps the ones that have both the financial backing, the players at the club at the moment, and the support off the field to go and really challenge that top two. Obviously everyone looks at Shamrock Rovers, but they've had a good couple of years now to try and break that top two dominance, and they haven't really done it, and there's a lot of question marks over Stephen Bradley. So going forward, would you agree with that assessment that Waterford could be the one to really challenge that top two of Dundalk and Cork?
Well, since Lee Power came into Waterford, since he took over the club, Lee Power has always stated that the club needs to look after itself. We need good support, we need business people behind us in the local city here, and he sees that as the way forward. He's not going to keep down money into the club and get no return. He wants people to get behind the club, support the club, and he put it on a financial footing that will see us. I would agree that we can push for a top two place. Very difficult, though, against Dundalk and Park City, who are a couple of years ahead of us in development. But there's no reason why we can't push on. I don't see major changes here next year. I think we'll stay on a sound footing, bring in some decent players, and push for a top two place. But I don't believe it'll happen in the next year or two.
No, and I have to say, you know, after seeing all this online, I'm very surprised, because I think with maybe two or three decent players brought in at the close season, I think Waterford can definitely be challenging next season, because, you know, in Power, he's already shown the type of players he's brought in that, you know, they've obviously got a good scouting network, they know the English game, and, you know, they can bring players in from over there, and I just think two or three decent additions, and that Waterford team could be challenging for the title next season.
Yeah, they could be challenging for the title. I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is for us to get on a level Power with Cork and with Dundalk, it's not as easy as that, because they are ahead of us in playing staff, coaching staff. You know, it'll take us a while to get to their level. We're not far off it. I do believe that Shamrock Rovers will be a force as well next year. I think Stephen Bradley's done an excellent job there. Has his critics as well. But there's going to be four teams I can see, and I do like the look of Bowes. I think there's four teams who can really challenge for the title next year. But Waterford will have to get more consistent and bringing in and out players. You know, you need a panel that'll be around for a while, which Dundalk built up and Cork built up. We've got in an influx of players over 2 years, and we need to steady the ship, have a look at the type of player we want rather than bringing in. You know, see, we've a lot of players on our panel who are not good enough to get in the team, and that's a problem this year.
Paul, you're talking about getting on a level par, I suppose, with Dundalk and Cork. Is the key to that qualifying for Europe this season? Because we all know the pot of gold that comes with European football and the resources and the attractability then in terms of attracting players to the club, how much that increases. So is qualifying for Europe either via the league or the cup now?
That's a fair point you made, that attracting players. You know, that is the key to it. You can go into the transfer market and bring in six or seven players, which we done, but not all of them were the type of calibre that we needed. You might get three out of the seven that we took in that really showed an improvement. But I think what you said there about reaching Europe will attract good players, and that's the secret to it, as far as I can see.
Yeah, let's talk about this this weekend's match then, and we'll talk about UCD away. Have you seen much of UCD this season?
No, I haven't seen a whole lot. Just what I read in the media. The forward has done well from since he came in.
Yeah.
We have a great record in UCD, Waterford has, over the years, because they play good football and we like to play football. So I don't see it coming down to a real cup battle, because I think they will play out from the back and we like to play out from the back. It could be a really good football match more than a real tough, hard cup side, which Waterford had in Drogheda, because it came down to a kick of a ball. But against UCD, personally, I think UCD are an excellent side, but I think Waterford will have too much fun.
Yeah, it could be a situation where there might be more away fans in there than home fans, depending on how many you bring up there. You know, it could make it a home atmosphere.
The support board for St. Pat's last week in Chippewa was top class. They packed out Richmond Park, you know, and it created a great atmosphere. Beaten by a better team on the day in the second half. And I think we're hurting. The club was hurting over that defeat last week. And I think that will come out this week when Waterford go to the bowl, bring 400 or 500 fans with him and create a good atmosphere, and I think we'll get through.
Yeah, I think there's probably a lot of knee-jerk stuff from losing 3-0 away from home. Nobody likes to go away and lose 3-0, but I think a win over UCD...
Yeah, but you know yourself, when you get beaten 3-0, like we did, and Pats deserved to win.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that came away hurting from that. And there was a lot of stuff that went up on media, which was frustration more than anything else, I think.
Just on a totally separate issue, Paul, I see today Vigrou, the former Waterford FC loanee, has been called up into the Chile squad. You've obviously seen a lot of him this season. Just how good of a goalkeeper was he for the Blues?
Oh, he was excellent. Top class. We had some great goalkeepers here over the years. The wonderful Peter Thomas going back years. Mick Devine. You know, we always had good goalkeepers. And we got another one in Figueroa. He was excellent in some of the matches. I saw him down in Turner's Cross against Cork. He was absolutely brilliant on the goal. Delighted for him because very nice lad. A great professional. Gave everything he had while he was here. Never caused an ounce of problem to anybody. And the fans loved him. So he's a top-class goalkeeper. It would be nice to see him make his debut, maybe on a live match on the telly, that we might pick up some of the Sky or BT Sports might show a match. It'd be great to see him in action. Everybody here's delighted for him. I wish him all the best.
Just on a final point, Paul, players like that obviously not only improve Waterford, they really up the standards in the league, because I know myself and John have spoke about goalkeeping standards in the league being quite poor over the last couple of years, and I feel goalkeepers like Vigro coming into the league really up the standards of everyone else. But in terms of Waterford going forward, and we spoke about maybe trying to push the top two over the next couple of years and qualifying for Europe, is it important that Waterford can attract those players, and not just attract them but then keep them at the club?
Came from was we were really down the depths down here. Well, we were so far back, 10 years in the first division, killed morale down here, and it killed the support. But we got in some decent players. The crowds kept flooding back up to 2,500-3,000 people in the RSC every Friday. And to see Bastien Heary, he was top class player, excellent player. Courtney Doofus came in. We got back Kenny Brown, we had Vigro on the goal. Paul Keegan came in, who was an excellent professional for the club. And now people are excited, and they're looking now. They're looking now to see who are we going to bring in next, you know. But as I said earlier, Lee Power has maintained that this club must establish itself. It must run itself. He's not going to put hundreds of thousands of pounds in every year. He wants the club to form a decent base down here. We have good academy, excellent academy here as well. So we're going to be around for a few years, and as you said, maybe the influence of 2 or 3 top-class players next year could push us up, and we look forward to that. But I think the supporters of Waterford know exactly where we are, that we're delighted to be in the top four, delighted to be in the cup, delighted to push them for Europe, and we have the basis and the support to make Waterford FC a top club once again.
Paul, superb stuff. Thanks very much for joining us. Great to hear such positivity coming out of the Waterford camp, and best wishes for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and thanks a million for having me on. Thank you.
Cheers, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
BetweenTheStripes.ie is sponsored by Diaga. Based in Buncrana, County Donegal, Diaga are world leaders in top-class logo and graphic design, website building, film production, illustration, and much more. For further information, please visit Diaga.ie.
Okay, we'll move on to the First Division now, Kieran, and we're going to start off with a crunch match at the top, where UCD came out 3-0 winners at Drogheda.
Yeah, and I know a lot of Town fans were celebrating this result when it came in on Friday night, because it gave Longford the opportunity then on Saturday, if they could defeat Cabotealy, they'd overtake Drogheda and move into that final playoff place for the first time in a very, very long time. But in terms of UCD, obviously, they're only 1 point away from the title now, and you're going to run us through the breakdown of how this game played out.
Yeah, well, Sean Brennan got sent off for Drogheda, and that really was the key moment of the match, because that let UCD in, and it was a hat-trick from their signing from Reading, Conor Davis.
Yeah, we'll be playing our interview with Colly O'Neill later in the show, and he's spoken about Conor Davis and his impact at the club, and I know from listening to a couple of other UCD players on in other interviews elsewhere that they've spoken about the impact he's had, so he could certainly be a player to watch in the coming seasons. Neil Fenn was actually at this game observing it, and he commented on the sending off of Sean Brennan that it was slightly soft perhaps, but it had a huge impact on the result.
Yeah, and I have to say hats off to Colly O'Neill, because
yeah,
I know we're interviewing him, so he's probably... But look, the way he's picking up signings and spotting players, and I just think he's doing a fantastic job.
We were
job.
All so concerned when Georgie Kelly left that the wheels were going to come off, but...
he knows a player, doesn't he?
So many young players have come in the last couple of weeks and made a huge impact, and Conor Davis is one that he's picked up out of nowhere, really, and he looks to be perhaps the next Georgie Kelly. That's what UCD have always done. I mean, look at the players around the league that have played for them. You're thinking of the likes of Robbie Benson there, David McMillan, Evan McMillan. So many great players they've had down the years. Kilduff as well. And they've always managed to replace them and play a real attractive style of football. And I think that goes down to the setup there. I mean, it's basically a full-time setup without being full-time, if that makes sense. The players are around each other every day. They have the best gym facilities, the best strength and conditioning, the best nutrition. It's a really great setup for young players, and I think this UCD style could definitely do some damage in the Premier next year.
I was going to ask you, I mean, let's face it, they're going to get promoted, so we think...
Well, Finn Harps is going to be looking to have a different say on that next week.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, but I think, you know, if they do go up as champions, which I'm expecting them, you think they'll hold their own?
Yeah, the big headline, I suppose, quote from my interview with Colly that's going to be coming up shortly. I asked him...
We'll not spoil it all.
We need to discuss this, because this is what a lot of people are wondering about UCD next season. If they go up, are they going to change the structure of the club in terms of maybe bring in one or two experienced players from outside of the scholarship system? Colly, 100% no was his answer. He said that they've changed this system because they had experienced League of Ireland pros coming in there, and they didn't bed in well with the younger players because they didn't feel part of it. They weren't, you know, on the campus every day. They weren't maybe doing the same gym work, the same training programs, and it just didn't work. It caused issues within the dressing room, whereas all these players are on a scholarship and they're all rowing in together in the one style of football, the one system, and it's been a great success, so they're not going to change away from that. So if UCD can keep the players they have there now, I think they'll be a good success in the Premier next year.
Galway's miserable season continued when they went down 2-0 at Finn Harps, which keeps Finn Harps their faint title hopes just still alive.
Maybe faint, but then again, it wouldn't surprise you to see Harps going to UCD and beating them next week and bringing it down to the final day of the season. I know Longford are the only side that's gone to the bowl and won this year, but Harps, they're just a dogged side, and you could just see them dragging this out to the very end. Good win over Galway. I think we expected it to be comfortable because Galway's season is well and truly finished weeks ago now, and you'd have concerns for that club the way their season has petered out.
Place and Timlin with the goals for Harps, and a remarkable result at Tolka, where Shells, who were 2-0 up against rock bottom Athlone without a win this season, and Athlone came back to 2-2 and were unlucky not to win it.
Yeah, and the first thing I did when I seen this result was come in, I went over to the Shells Facebook page. I wanted to get the reaction of the fans.
Oh, I'd say it was interesting.
Oh my god, they're tearing Heary apart. There's a lot of Heary out calls already. It's incredible, really. I know you tipped Shells at the start of the season to maybe win it, but considering the dark years they've had, this has been a good consistent season from Shelburne. They've always been in and around them playoff places, and you wouldn't write them off in terms of maybe getting to that final against Limerick. David O'Sullivan's goals have dried up. He got one from the penalty spot here, but the players he's brought in Karen Moore, in Paddy Kavanagh, in Morehouse, that gives Shells a great chance. But I suppose at the same time, bringing in those players rises the expectation levels, and maybe that's what Owen Heary's going to be his downfall there, Shells.
Yeah, two of the players that were playing well early in the season, Dave Sully and James English, they were the goal scorers. Fletcher and Hamzat coined a remarkable comeback for Athlone.
Yeah. Good to see Athlone more competitive towards the end of the season, but you don't know, it's probably going to be a totally different squad again next year the way things are there. Yeah, so
we don't know, that's the problem. Clash for nothing really down the bottom. Wexford 1, Cove 2. Hurley and Hull for Cove, 1 for Massoud. Two teams there that will be looking towards next season.
Yeah, I think I've seen an estimate of about 150 people attending this game. I've been speaking to Wexford fans all week online, and they're very, very concerned about the way the club is going down there. They don't see a future for it. They don't see a plan. There doesn't seem to be any direction with the club. And I know there's been a couple of changes at committee level there, and that would concern me, seeing some of the individuals there that have been involved in the past, and the way Wexford Youths, that thing ended there, wasn't great. And
such a shame after where they were getting promotion to the Premier League, and you know that.
Yeah, I'm very concerned for Wexford as a club going forward. I know I've raised it a couple of times on the show, but there seems to be issues between the fans and the club, as far as I can see there. And when you have that, there's no way a club can progress. So they need to get their house in order, sit down at the end of the season, come up with a plan for the next 3, 4, 5 years, and try and build from there, and build within the community, and build links, and then focus on the pitch, because at the moment they don't have the resources to challenge on the pitch, so they may as well try and sort things off the pitch.
Yeah, I agree. And finally, a match we were both at the City Calling Stadium, Longford Town 4, Cabin Teely 1. And
that scoreline doesn't do it justice, John.
No, it doesn't. It was quite a tight game at one stage, wasn't it?
It was an absolutely fantastic game of football. Yeah. The first half was a bit dull, in all honesty, but in all my years of going out to City Calling Stadium, I've seen very few endings to a game like this one.
Well, Cal Chambers opened the scoring for Town.
He's been very impressive.
Yeah, it was a shot from Jamie Doyle, a free kick actually, and he possesses a real shot, does just Doyle. Jamie Doyle, and palmed out by the keeper, and Cal Chambers was there to score. Kevin Dalton got the goal for Cabo, but it was the Dylan McGlade show after that again, and he's becoming the most wanted man in the first division.
Yeah, you've left huge chunks of the action out there, I have to say.
Yep.
So Longford cruising a 2-0, looking well on their way to moving above Drogheda. Next thing, as has been happening all season, refereeing decisions start going against Longford.
Oh, here we go, referees again. This is the third week running, folks.
I'll leave them off this week, but definitely the decision. A couple of decisions went against Longford. Cabo score off the back of that. Then they get another free kick and they score from that, but the linesman flag saves Longford. Longford are hanging on by a thread with minutes to go, 2-1. Everyone's thinking, oh, here we go, Longford's going to throw this away and throw away the promotion hopes. Then out of nowhere, Dylan McGlade picks the ball up. I think he must have gone around 5 or 6 players, including the keeper, John.
Well, that was you'll see it online anyway.
Yeah, it's gone viral.
He takes a couple of defenders. There's a sliding tackle goes in. He goes around that. He goes around the keeper and slots it in. It's a very, very cool goal. And
no more than 30 seconds later, Longford win the ball off the kickoff. McGlade breaks through. He makes a run from about 30 yards deep. Still gets ahead of all his markers. Great pace. And one-on-one with the keeper. Keeper actually gets a hand on him, but McGlade smashed it straight into the top corner. It goes straight through the keeper's hand. Nothing he could do about it. Just so much power and determination to get that first hat-trick. And what a finish. Great scenes at the end. Seemed to be a good atmosphere at the game and an increase in attendance as well.
The Midlands Messi.
Yeah, well, that's what the banner says. So Cork City are going to have to watch him closely. But let's get the inside scoop now, John, ahead of that game at the weekend between Longford and Cork. We're going to speak now to the Longford Town FC manager and former league winner as a player with Cork City. It's, of course, Neil Fenn. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, so it's a huge occasion on Friday night for Longford Town Football Club, hosting the champions of Ireland, the cup winners Cork City, in the live game on RTE in the FAI Cup quarterfinals. And I'm joined on the line now by the former Cork City player and, of course, current Longford Town manager. It's Neil Fenn. Neil, welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
Thanks, Kieran. How are you?
So, Neil, before we start, I suppose I have to ask you about Saturday night. I've been going out to Longford Town matches for over 15 years now, and I can't remember too many endings to a game like that. Simply incredible stuff. I imagine there's still a buzz around the camp after that game.
Yeah, I mean, we do make hard work of it. We should have been out of sight earlier on in the second half, but credit to Cameron Teely, they never gave up. They got a goal back and put us under serious pressure for the last 10 minutes. And and we weathered that a little bit, and luckily broke away and scored another couple of goals. So the boys have been buzzing in training, and I'm really looking forward to the game against Cork on Friday.
We'll speak about the big challenge now that is Cork City coming to town shortly, Neil, but there's a great buzz around Longford at the moment, I have to say. Speaking to supporters all week in the lead up to this game, a lot of excitement for it, and a lot of compliments about the style of football that's been played this season, about some of the exciting finishes like we've seen on Saturday night, and certain players like Dylan McGlade and Aidan Irvine are really catching the eye of the locals. So do you feel that buzz now can be a positive momentum going into the end of the season?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously the positive buzz comes from when you're winning, so we've done that the last few games, and some like you say, good performances from the lads. I think that those boys you mentioned there and a lot of the others seem to be really enjoying their football at the moment, and that shows in the performances they're giving. They've been exceptional for me over all season really, but especially the last few games, and we're just hoping now that we can continue with the momentum that we've built up and into the last few games.
Just before we started this interview here, I was just scrolling through Twitter and I see one of the national tabloids has a piece up on Dylan McGlade and linking him to Lionel Messi. Incredible stuff, really. I can't remember so much buzz around a town player, but his performances certainly warrant that in recent weeks. I suppose the questions town supporters are asking now is, how did the club keep him?
That's a good question. You know, obviously, fans and in particular, you know, players like Dylan, they get the headlines because of how exciting they are in getting players and fans off their seats. And he can definitely do that with some of the stuff he does on the ball. He's an excellent dribbler. He's excellent in one-on-one situations. And he's also added to his game this year anyway, like goals. I don't think he's got more than, you know, anywhere near what he's got this year. So he's added that to his game. How do we keep him is a very good question. It's up to us to try and convince him that Longford's the place to be. I'm sure he'll have a couple of people ringing him and knocking on his door, but you know, it's up to him and it's up to us to try and convince him that he can play his best football with us.
Without wanting to put any more pressure on your shoulders, is the simple answer to that Longford need to get promoted this season if they're going to entice players to the club and keep players like Dylan around?
I don't know, to be honest with you. That's up to Dylan to answer. I think it certainly would help. He couldn't argue there that he wanted to play Premier football if we were in the Premier Division, but I don't know. I'm not sure if, you know, for his development, whether or not playing for a Premier Division club, possibly not playing every week, would be beneficial to him. He needs to play every week. He's that type of player. He's a confidence player. And we certainly give him the confidence to go and express himself, and he's certainly doing that.
In terms of a stage for players to express themselves, I suppose there's no better experience than playing in a live game in front of what should be a packed out crowd of the City Colne Stadium and against an opposition of the calibre of Cork City. How excited are you for this game, Neil?
We're excited. It's going to be a tough game. We know that. The boys are really looking forward to it. The training's been very bright this week. We're training in Abbottstown tomorrow to prepare for it. So the training's bright, but in the great scheme of things, if we can beat Cork, great. If we don't beat Cork, the bigger game for us is the following week against Drogheda. It's vitally important that we win that one.
Yeah, you've taken the words right out of my mouth. As great of an occasion this is for the club on Friday, I think everyone knows that trip to Drogheda next Friday. Looking like there's going to be a huge travelling support going up there. I think the supporters realise the importance of it, but in terms of the playoff places, just how big is this game in Drogheda?
I mean, it's massive. I mean, we'd all love to play in an FAI Cup final. We'd love to win the FAI Cup. Realistically, you know, we need to win one more game in the league to get in the playoff. So that's where the focus is. I know we are preparing for the next game, which is Cork. They obviously had a bad result on Friday night, so they'll be going full strength against us. I'd imagine they'll be taking it, you know, taking us seriously, like I'm sure John would do that anyway. So we're looking forward to that first. We'll play that game, and then obviously, like you say, is the massive one away to Drogheda. And like you say, I hear there's going to be a big away support for us. Our crowd have been fantastic this year, so hopefully we can put on a performance away in Drogheda and give the crowd what they deserve.
Could the fact that Cork City have lost their last game, surprisingly, to Sligo, of course, a side that Longford dumped out of the cup, and they slipped up recently against St. Pat's as well, and they're now, look, that title is starting to look more and more unconvincing this season. Could that go against Longford? Do you feel there may be a reaction from the Cork players on Friday?
Possibly, but, you know, I don't think, you know, I'm sure the Cork players are up for every game they play. I don't think John Caulfield would stand for lads not giving everything. He's that type of manager, that type of character. He expects and demands that the players give 100% every time they play. So, you know, it's going to be tough. We know that. You know it, I know it, everyone knows it, the players know it. they're second in league cup holders, so it's going to be very, very difficult for us. But, you know, we're a good team as well on our day. So, you know, we're just hoping if we can keep them quiet for the first part of the game that we might need something near the end.
We've spoken about the likes of Dillon, we've spoken about the likes of Abe, but one player that maybe isn't getting the accolades that he deserves, Jamie Doyle has been fantastic since he's come into the team in the last couple of weeks, especially when you consider Sam Verdon, the man you've been playing, I suppose, as the target man in that side, has been out injured.
Yeah, well, I think it's a little bit of a curse. Whoever we've played up front has got injured for us, so hopefully Jamie doesn't, but obviously Chris Mulhall started up there, Dean Dillon's had to go up there, Dean Burns had to go up there, Sam Verdon's had to go up there, so Peter Hopkins has had to go up there, so whoever's gone up there has got injured, so he's up there at the moment, and he's doing brilliant for us. His link-up play and his outlet is unbelievable, and what he gives us as well, he's not scared to shoot, which is something that we possibly were lacking a little bit in the early part of the season. He has shots and he occupies defenders.
And I know you had a little bit of fun recently on Twitter. There was a couple of comments from Owen Heary that you were maybe hitting the big man in Doyle too much. Can we expect to see something similar against Cork, perhaps?
No, you know, if you've got someone who's 6 foot whatever up top and you take a goal kick and you aim for him, I don't think that is necessarily hit playing a long ball to the big man. I think that's just trying to win a ball from a goal kick. So, you know, I'm sure Owen said that a little bit tongue in cheek, and you know, we're just it's another outlet for us. It's a different option for us. I'm sure that if you asked the fans and a lot of the players, do we play long ball? I think that they'd take you in for sanctioning or something like that. So,
I think so.
You know,
we're just
it's a little bit tongue in cheek, I'd say.
No, certainly Lanfear's style of play has been a joy to watch since you've come into the club, Neil. But just on the Cork game, obviously played them last year in the Cup a round earlier, and Cork run out comfortable winners despite a good second half shown from Lanfear. Some fans felt maybe Lanfear sat back a little bit defensively and started out differently to how they would maybe in a league game. But of course, it's very easy to say that in hindsight, and you're the man that has to make these decisions. In terms of the setup Friday, without giving too much away, are Lanfear going to go for this one?
To lose, I suppose. I mean, Cork are, you know, they are a very good team. We watched the game against Sligo, they're a good team. So we've worked out how we think we can beat them, you know, but it's all right saying that, and it's all right having a game plan to do that, but you've actually got to put it into practice. You've got to stop their players who are talented players. So, you know, do we think we're going to have a majority of possession in the game? Probably not. Do we think we're going to be able to carve them open at every opportunity? Probably not. So just have to be clever, have to be cautious, and give them the respect they deserve. They are a Premier Division team and are second in the league and cup holders for a reason.
Finally, Neil, obviously the TV cameras coming to City Connacht Stadium on Friday night. I can just see the dodgy haircuts and the bad tans already for a couple of the lads out there. But in terms of yourself, I'd imagine that the suits have been ironed, they've been pressed.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't make that decision until the day. I haven't really given it much thought, to be honest. I'll see what the weather's like and everything else before we have
one interested party on Twitter wanting to know just exactly where you go for your suits.
I've actually got a friend who runs a suit hire company and suit sale company in Dublin called Suits You. So I'll give him a little shout out there, Johnny at Suits You. Thank you,
Johnny at Suits You. You owe us a few quid, but Neil, it's been a pleasure having you on. Thanks very much for joining us, and I'm sure it's going to be a wonderful occasion either way for Lanfear on Friday night.
Brilliant. Cheers, Kieran.
Thanks, Neil.
Enjoying the show so far? Why not leave us a review on iTunes? Want something featured on next week's show? Get in touch via Twitter at Between Stripes, or find us on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Finally, our new website address is www.betweenthestripes.ie. Enjoy the second half.
Right, so it's FAI Cup weekend, and we're going to preview the three matches. I'm going to start off with our own Longford Town against Cork. This one on RTE, Friday night, 7:25.
Yeah, but obviously we're hoping the people in Longford will get off their sofas, get out to the ground. A lot of stuff going on around the town this week to try and build a bit of buzz for the game. I know Cairns Travel running two free shuttle buses from the Longford Arms out, and there seems to be sponsors all over the place. For once, which is great to see the local business community getting behind the club. But as you heard there in that interview with Neil Fenn, he admits this is a great occasion for the club, but the game for Longford is next Friday, the trip to County Louth, where they take on Drogheda in basically a winner takes all promotion showdown. So John, is there any chance of an upset here?
Well, there's a chance. As I was saying earlier, Kieran, Longford, you just wonder how many of those Longford players would get in a Cork team. You could probably argue for McGlade and maybe McKelly in goals. But
McGlade wouldn't get a game for John Caulfield. I think he's a little bit too eccentric for him, isn't he?
If he would play Sadly,
he'd be sitting on the bench with Sadly, yeah.
Yeah, but look, it's a very small chance. Cork, you know, the holders, they're the league winners. You know, they're a good side. That's why they hold those two competitions at the moment. Yeah. So
as I said to Neil,
it's a huge ask.
As I said to Neil in that interview, I actually feel the bad form of Cork could really go against Longford here. I think Caulfield has probably volleyed them this week in training, I would imagine. I'd say they're really looking for a reaction now. And as you've mentioned on the show already tonight, they might know themselves that the league is very close to being gone. So the cup is going to be very important to them. I think Longford will give it a much better showing than they did last year. But at the same time, they're not going to want to pick up any injuries. Yellow cards is a worry. I know Darren Meenan is on four. Daniel O'Reilly's missing this game through suspension, so they're not going to be wanting to miss any players now in the promotion run-in. So
Mick McDonald will come in for Daniel O'Reilly, but they are very, very thin on the bench. But as I was saying before, I think that's worked in Neil Fenn's favour because it's forced him to play a very, very settled team.
Yeah.
And they're in great form at Longford. So if you're looking at the form book, then it certainly gives Longford a chance. But I think Neil will just be given this game as a bit of a
free crack.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's a free shot, and look, he'd be delighted if they get through, but I can't see it. I'm going to have to go for a Cork win, Kieran.
Let's go with scorelines in all the games this weekend, since there's only three. So, as always, our St. Mel's Brewery prediction game. Myself and John are playing for a crate of St. Mel's beer at the end of the season. John leads 8-2 at the moment, so I could do with it.
The bottles are nearly open as far as I can see.
Yeah, I think so. So look, we'll go with scoreline predictions because we were tied last week across the board. So Longford and Cork, I am going to go with, I gave a prediction last night on the Rebel Radio podcast. Make sure you check that out. There was a great preview for this game. So Rebel Radio, Rebel Yell on Twitter, you'll find that podcast. I went with 3-1 for Cork.
Okay, I'm going to go 2-1. I expect it to be a little bit closer than last year. So 2-1 to Cork. Of course, it all depends on the side John Caulfield puts out as well.
I think it'll be strong. I mean, they have to get some momentum going again. They simply couldn't go three games without a win. It would just totally demoralise the entire squad, the entire fan base. I think anything but a win against Longford would be seen as a bit of a humiliation, really. So they've got to come to Longford and show why they're the champions, why they're the cup winners. And I think they'll get it tough, but I think the important thing in this game for Longford is not to concede early. They conceded quite early in the game last year, and after that it was quite a free roam for Cork. So the longer Longford can keep it tight, then they'll grow in confidence. But I think Cork just physically might have too much.
Yeah, and I think they've too much going forward for Longford's defence without Daniel O'Reilly. That would be,
yeah, O'Reilly is a huge loss.
Yeah, absolutely. Limerick host Dundalk in a repeat of the match at the weekend there. Well, Limerick, they did pretty well.
Yeah, and it might be a bit of a wake-up call to Dundalk. They might have gone down there thinking they were going to get things easy. So I'm sure Stephen Kenny will have his players well drilled. It'll be interesting to see, does he make any changes? But no league game now until the trip to Turner's Cross. So I don't think there'll be many changes, and Kenny doesn't seem to be a manager that makes many changes. So look, I think it's going to be far from an original prediction, but I've got to go with a Dundalk win. I'm going to say 2-1 to Dundalk.
I'm going to go 2-0 Dundalk in this one. I think that performance by Limerick last week was as good as it could have got for Limerick.
Mm.
And I don't expect it to be...
They're missing a goal scorer. Morrissey's only back fit, and you know it's going to take him a while to get back.
I think that's as good a result as they could have got that last defeat. So I fully expect Dundalk to win this.
One name that came into my head this week, I was just thinking about Limerick and how things have gone down there. If they had Rodrigo Tosi now, you would see a lot more goals going in.
Yeah. You would. That firepower from last season of Benny and Tosi. Yeah.
It's hard to believe how quickly things change.
Yeah, it is. And I noticed actually Ogbeni was farmed out on loan this week. He went to Exeter.
All right.
So okay. He'll be getting a bit more game time.
Hopefully.
UCD host Waterford in the third and final fixture this weekend. UCD's still in for a cup and league double,
yeah. Yeah, I think this is the one most people are flagging up has been the game of the round. UCD league leaders, 1 point away from the title, as we've mentioned, and playing some extremely attractive football, some really talented young players coming through there as well. Waterford up and down at the moment. We've heard from Paul Elliott earlier in the show, a bit of discontent amongst the fans after some recent results there. But for Waterford, I think they know now they're in with a real shout of maybe winning this cup or at least getting to the final. So it'd be a big slip up now to go to a first division side and win. The surface in UCD should definitely suit the style of play. I think it'll be a good game of football, but physically UCD are well able to cope with the Premier Division sides, but you know, they might just take their eye slightly off this with that game against Harps next week, and we'll be playing an interview with Colly O'Neill in the moment, and he certainly alluded to that. So I'm going to say it'll be tight, but I think Waterford might just scrape a 2-1.
I think so. I just think with the fact that Waterford will bring a lot of fans up there, it'll be like a home game for them. I think they may just have a little bit too much with UCD for UCD. They have some real quality in that Waterford side, let's not forget.
I'm scribbling my pen around. What are you over?
You want a score, Ryan?
Yeah, please.
I'm going to go 3-2 Waterford after extra term.
Replays now.
Oh, is it replay now? Okay, yeah. Well, 3-2 then.
After me slating Soccer Republic last week and not knowing the rules of the cup when they kept saying, oh, this game could have gone to a replay when we all knew it was extra time. So big slip up from you, Mr. Breyer.
Yeah, but at least
still
we got the...
Still going for 3-2 in the 90 then? Or, yeah?
Yeah, well, when I meant extra time, I meant injury time.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Yes, after a bit of injury time.
Let you off the hook.
Yeah, at least we get the manager's names right.
Yeah. Yeah, enough spoofing from us. Let's bring you our final interview of the night now. UCD manager, Colly O'Neill. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, delighted to say we're joined online now by one of the brightest talents in terms of managerial, people in the league at the moment. It's the UCD manager, Colly O'Neill. UCD, of course, just 1 point away now from securing the First Division title. And this Friday night, they have a huge FAI Cup quarterfinal against Waterford. And I'm delighted to say Colly joins us on the line now. Colly, you're welcome to the show.
Hiya, lads. Thanks for having me. How are you?
So, Colly, before we speak about, obviously, the great season it's been for UCD, both in terms of the league and the cup, I'd just love to go back to maybe your start at UCD. You came in 2015. Pat Devlin there was your director of football. And it was a very different scene to the setup you have now at UCD in terms of having a number of experienced League of Ireland players on the books. In recent years, you've made the move to just have a scholarship system, only scholarship players. Is it fair to say it's made maybe more of a harmony among the squad and that's why we're seeing such great success at the moment?
Well, I've been here for quite a while. I think it was 2010 is when I originally joined the club as Martin's assistant. So the club itself has transitioned through many stages where there was scholarship and non-scholarship players, and that was always the model here, where you would have certain players that probably never went to the college, and those that were finished their degrees would hang on for a good few years and continue playing with the club. So the difference between then to now were us having everybody on a scholarship, everybody is in college, everybody's in and around the same age group, everybody hangs out together both during the day and in training, and it's actually something I did my thesis on for the pro batch. So it was, I think the harmony this year has been a big reason behind why they've performed so well on the pitch. It's just the culture, just the way they have knitted so well together.
And you mentioned there the fact that you've now gained your pro licence. I'd just love to know where you get all the time from, Colly. You're working for Microsoft, you're obviously doing the job at UCD, you have a young family there as well. You must find it very difficult to balance everything.
I'd be lying if I said it wasn't difficult. It is, Steve, I suppose. The thing that suffers most, as with most people that are probably working and involved in football, it's always family and sleep are the two things that suffer the most. So probably average around 5 hours sleep a night, and then if my wife and kids can see me on 3 days a week, 4 days a week, they'd be doing pretty well.
Yeah, and look, I suppose the end of the season now is getting closer, so there'll be more time for family after that, but from a UCD perspective, I'm sure you're hoping that you're going to be planning for a season back in the Premier Division. And I know you've spoken on other shows maybe about the need, if UCD are to go up into the Premier next season, I know you're not going to be getting ahead of yourself at this stage. There's still a point to earn in terms of winning the title. But in terms of the setup next season, will UCD maybe have to look at changing the system again and bringing in a couple of experienced players if they're going to be in the Premier Division?
No, not at all. No, we'll stick whether we don't get up, if we don't do it, or whether we do get up. No, we'll stick with the same model that we have. It worked. Other models where we had external players who were never really, really part of the group and always felt like outsiders, it didn't work. There was this harmony in the dressing room. So this year where there's complete harmony in the dressing room, the model that we have is something that we'll continually work with because it has proven it's worked. So it doesn't matter if we're fourth division football or prem division football next year, it'll be the same model. It'll be a scholarship team only.
And the proof is in the pudding, really, in what you're saying, and this model does work, because this season you suffered the great disadvantage of losing a player of the quality of Georgie Kelly, and we all know the amount of goals he got for your side and how important of a player he was. But you had many, many young players since then step into the team, and they're grabbing all the headlines now. So there seems to be a conveyor belt of talent coming through there, through that system at UCD.
But that's what's always happened here over the years. But, once one player has gone through and finished his degree and moved on, there's always another player there waiting to come in and grab his opportunity. Yo-Yo has done brilliant since Georgie left, and we were so fortunate to come across Conor Davis at the same time. So to lose someone of Georgie's calibre and then have two extra top-class players come to life at the exact same time, we've been fortunate. We've been lucky with the talent that which have come through this club.
And just on Friday, obviously, it's going to be a Premier Division test. You're coming up against Waterford, a side that are chasing hard for Europe, and obviously they'll be looking to add a cup and get into Europe that way if they can. How big of a test is it? And it's a very similar perspective, I suppose, to Longford Town. They're facing Cork City this weekend, but their focus, and Neil Fenn has admitted as much himself, that their focus is very much on Drogheda next week in terms of promotion. From a UCD perspective, is the eye maybe going to be slightly off it with that game against Harps next week?
Absolutely. Harps is our priority. It's something that we've worked on all year long. This is a free crack for us on Friday night against Waterford. It's a chance for us to test ourselves against one of the top teams in the Premier Division this year. And it's where we want to be playing football. It's where the players want to be. So to be playing against these kind of teams on a more regular basis, yeah, our priority is definitely the Finn Harps game. But it doesn't mean that we won't be going easy on Friday, because it's a free crack for us. If we win, great. If we cause an upset. If we don't win, no one would have really expected it. So it's a free crack. It's a little bit of pressure off for us where we can go and play. But it's a game where we really, really want to go and test ourselves.
It's funny you should use that term, because it's actually the exact same one, the free crack that I've been using on tonight's show to describe that Longford game against Cork. So look, hopefully there's going to be a couple of upsets for the first division sides. I think it's been a good season for first division sides in the cup. But on that game against Harps, they need a win to keep it going to the last day of the season. UCD need a point. Is there a danger that teams can maybe be unsure how to approach a game when they only need a point?
We won't change our philosophy for that game. We won't be looking for a point. We'll be going to win the game. That's the way we've played all year long. Just because we've coming into a particular game where you only need the 1 point doesn't mean we should change our philosophy. We're going to stick to what we're good at here at the Bowl. Such a big pitch. This is our back garden, and if anything, Harp should have a little bit of fear coming to play us. So we're going to do what we normally do. We know we perform on the night, we'll get what we should deserve to get into the Premier Division.
And look, at that time of the year,
But if we don't perform, well, then we know it's still only down to us. It's always been down to us this year. It doesn't matter about other teams. We can only control the controllable, and what we control is in our own hands.
And it's that time of the year again, what UCD so close to promotion, that a couple of critics are starting to raise their head. They're saying that UCD, they have no place in Premier Division football because they don't bring big crowds. Myself and John have spoke about that being a totally unfair assessment. I think UCD, everyone knows, have been the best side this season in the First Division. And we've already spoken here tonight about the development of players coming through. And you just have to look at the likes of Dundalk to see how many ex-UCD players are there. So I think that's a very unfair assessment, but it's one you do hear a lot. In the League of Ireland. But I know the college are trying to get a lot of students in for this game against Finn Harps, so I'm sure you're going to be appealing for a big crowd to come out and support the lads in that game.
Yeah, well, we're college only coming back on term this week, and next week it'll be free entry for all students, so we'll try and get as much of a crowd as we possibly can. But we've worked hard over many years to try and get more students into the game, but I think unless you actually offer them probably 5 cans of it's really hard to get them in through the gates. But whether we bring a crowd, don't bring a crowd, actually what we do on the pitch, off the pitch, our training methods, our philosophies, our culture, our training facilities is 10 times better than what many other clubs do in the League of Ireland.
Yeah.
So whether we bring a crowd or not, I don't think you should ever be judged on that one factor alone, whether you should be in the league or not.
No, totally agree with you on that, Collie. Just before you go, we're going to ask a couple of fan questions have been put into us. Aidan McNeil's of Finn Harps, he has a feeling that there's been a more physical approach to UCD this season. Is that something that maybe you discussed at the start of the year? Obviously, everyone knows UCD's style of play. It's very attractive, but is there a need to maybe the players to protect themselves that little bit more?
We've probably been a little bit more physical this year just on the back of an awful lot of the strength and conditioning work that we've been doing over the last 3 years. And because the squad hasn't changed much over the last 3 years, we're actually just seeing the benefits of that. We had Owen Clark in here as our strength and conditioning lead before Dundalk came along and took him a few months ago. But it's purely down to the work that the lads have been doing in the off season and in between our pitch sessions here. The lads here, you wouldn't realise actually how hard they work.
Yeah, well, I did notice that, and myself and John raised it many times on the show this season. Just the physical condition of the UCD players, quite incredible this season. I thought in a couple of games they looked to have fitness levels above some of the Premier Division sides, so it's a real credit to what you're doing down there. Just a final question comes in from Ian Ryan, who I'd describe as Mr. Cove Ramblers. He wants to know, at the start of the season, is there any particular fixture you look out for and why?
Fixture-wise, well, probably for us, we probably look at our local ones against Cabin TV because it's such a good battle to go against Pat Devlin. But you always, the ones you always look at is the ones that are going to be your main challenges. Ones, Shelbourne, Galway, Cove, because they were on such a good run in the previous years. They're the ones that you pick out and you say they're going to be the big games. And then you look at who have you got home and who have you got away. Who have you got home twice, who have you got away once. So we've been fortunate with some of the draw, the way the league fixtures have worked, in that we had the likes of only Galway away once, Shells away once, and especially Finn Harps only away once. An awful lot of things have fallen into place for us this year.
And finally, Collie, you're one of the very few managers in the league that uses social media quite a bit. There seems to be great camaraderie, I have to say, between the first division managers. I'm thinking of yourself and Stephen Henderson and Neil Fenn. There always seems to be a bit of a good banter going between the three of you lads in particular. Is that something you've noticed in the first division? And it's probably not something we see in the Premier a lot. I think a lot of the managers in the Premier seem to be at each other's throats more than anything else.
No, it's only between myself and Hendo, really, most of it, because we actually know each other. I've known Stephen a very, very, very long time. So with the two of us on the pro badge to each other, it's been a we know how to wind each other up, and we have a little bit of fun on it. Don't think you can be all serious all of the time. At some stage, you're involved in this game because you enjoy it. So,
Collie, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. Thanks very much for joining us, and best wishes with that game on Friday night. And from a Longford perspective, we're hoping that you can go and do the job against Harps, and you might come to City Colin Stadium with the feet up.
I would really, really like that, but it's going to be a real tough ask.
Collie, thanks very much, and best wishes.
All right, thanks.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
Okay, folks, so we're almost out of time, but before we go, a couple of subjects to just touch on. Obviously, Ireland in action tomorrow night in Cardiff, returning to the venue of that famous night when James McLean got the winner to send Ireland into the playoffs. But ever since then, it's been a downward slope for Irish football, John, and a lot of players have pulled out, both through injury and through other reasons that are well documented. What have you made of the situation involving Roy Keane and a couple of the Irish players, Harry Arter, obviously, most notably?
Yeah, it should be the pinnacle of your career playing for your country, but there's some players that just don't seem to want to play for various reasons, and the fallout with Roy Keane, well, let's face it, he's always been an absolute hothead, hasn't he, Roy Keane? And Harry Arter won't be the first or the last to fall out with him, but I have to ask, why is he in the Ireland setup, Kieran? Because his management, you know, he's fallen out with players wherever he's managed, and you know, that's not going to change. I think there's a bit of good cop, bad cop with O'Neill. Yeah, but for me, the mistake was made when they were given new contracts after that horrendous performance.
Well, it's great to get a perspective from an outside point of view. Obviously, you wouldn't attend many Ireland games, John. I know you've brought your kids to a couple, but obviously England would be your national team. So it's great to get that perspective because...
The football's poor as well to watch.
It's dreadful. I'm a season ticket holder at the Aviva and I travel away as well. And it's awful to watch. And I haven't been a fan of O'Neill since day one. Did great things in getting Ireland to the Euros, getting them through to the knockout stages, and the performance against France was great. But that's as far as I think we're going to go under O'Neill because, I mean, the performance against Denmark, the tactics in that game were awful. I think there was a lot of questions during that campaign about the style of football. The result out in Georgia is one that comes to mind when they went out there with such a negative attitude and dropped points. And I think we're seeing the fruits already of giving the two lads new contracts long before a ball has ever even been kicked. We have the Declan Rice situation. Obviously, you can argue that's maybe not their fault. But if we were playing a better brand of football, would he be more enticed to come and play for us? Maybe not. Maybe he just wants to go and play for England.
Yeah, after that, I was just amazed after that Denmark performance that they were given another contract.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just, it's ridiculous. It's rewarding. You know, poor performance. I'd have had the sack if I'd have performed like that in my job.
You know, Trapattoni got absolutely torn apart by the Irish media, by Irish supporters for his style of football when results started going poorly. And for me, as far as I can see, O'Neill's football is no better. But because he's Irish, he seems to be getting away with a lot more. And I think the big thing in terms of international managers down the years has been attendances. When you start to see the Irish football public totally losing interest and you see empty Aviva stadiums for every national team match, then you see the FEI forced into a decision.
I think the problem is, that again, we're going back to the players, but they don't have the pool of players to pick from neither.
Mm.
I know we're talking in England about you know, the lack of English players coming through because of all the foreign signings in the Premier League, but that also has a knock-on effect with Ireland because, again, the Irish players aren't getting a look in
either. And we're certainly seeing that, especially with the strikers. Bar Shane Long, there is very few, if any, playing in the Premier League at a higher level. But... there was a great discussion on one of the other podcasts recently. I think it may have been the League of Ireland Weekly one last week with Kevin Kilbane. And the lads were saying that this policy of picking players that are English born at underage level simply to try and nab them from England or what other country they may qualify for needs to stop. That you need to pick players that deserve to be there. I mean, when you look at the underage squads in years gone by, the likes of Seanie Maguire struggled to get into them.
Mm.
And there was lads there that were playing for English clubs that had probably never stepped foot in Ireland before, only to play for the underage sides, and they were getting caps. And, you know, players in those squads have said they felt that those players never had any intention of ever playing for Ireland. They were simply using the underage teams as a career move. And I know we can't be hypocritical because Ireland have taken players from Northern Ireland, but that's a completely different kettle of fish, different situation. So I think until we change the policy of just simply picking players to try and take them from other countries, we look at the talent we have in our own country here, especially now with the underage leagues, and start trying to produce players that way and start producing players through the League of Ireland. Because you just look at the players in the national team now, nearly most of them all have played in the League of Ireland. So this policy needs to change. So O'Neill and Keane need to go, in my opinion. I think results are going to dictate that. I can see Ireland losing tomorrow night. I can see the next campaign being a bit of a disaster.
They've got a bit of a bye ball against Denmark by the sounds of it.
Well, I'm sure that situation might be resolved by then. But look, I don't think there's a lot of excitement about this Nations League anyway. So... they'll be judged on qualification for the Euros and whether that happens or not. But it's certainly not exciting times to be an Ireland fan. We'll just briefly touch on some other subjects before we go, John. A great success last night for Bose under-19s, beating Pats in the end of McGill Cup final. And they've drawn Micheland in the underage European football.
Well, we're very familiar with their senior side, aren't we, in recent years? But I wouldn't know too much about their under-19s.
No, I know Neil Fenn was at the game last night, so maybe he was trying to see if he can pick up any young talent. I'm sure there was a lot of League of Ireland managers present, but a lot of good reports about this Bose side. So be interesting to see if any players come through that in the next couple of seasons for Keith Long's men. And finally, just on Bose, Fáil Sewell gone up to the NIFL.
Yeah, I was surprised about that one, but then again...
shocked.
Well, look, he didn't get much of a run in at Barnet, to be honest.
No,
because when he went there, the manager changed. And how many times we hear this, manager changes and previous manager liked the look of you, but the new manager doesn't. And
they were in a relegation dogfight at the time.
Well, then they were relegated to the National League. So I could understand him moving, but I was surprised to see him moving to Larne.
Although standard of football up there is, it's not even close to the League of Ireland.
But I think they've a bit of money to spend of Lyon.
They have a lot of money to spend, yeah.
They seem to be throwing that about.
It'll be interesting to see how that turns out in the next couple of years.
Yeah, yeah. So the Bohemians Kante, that's where he's ended up now.
Hopefully that he's gone up to the NIFL. Maybe once the transfer window opens down here again, maybe he might be interested in coming back to the League of Ireland. I'm sure any club would love to have him. He was an absolute midfield machine for Boas, but very disappointed to see him going up to that standard of football. But I suppose if things aren't working out for him in England, he's not getting the game time. It can be very lonely for a player over there. So maybe just looking to get back and join his football, whatever level that may be. But folks, that's been this week's edition of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Thanks to John Breyer, as always, for joining me. If you want to get either of us on Twitter, you can get myself at KieranBTS and at John Breyer, our hashtags or our handles, I should say. And we're always eager to have discussions on the League of Ireland with any listeners to the show. You can get Between the Stripes on Twitter, at Between Stripes, also on Facebook. Simply search Between the Stripes, you'll find us, and our website address is betweenthestripes.ie, where you can access this very podcast. We're on Audio Boom, we're on iTunes, SoundCloud, Mixcloud, Pocket Cast, Podcast Republic, Podcast Addict, Spotify. I'm forgetting a few, John.
Perhaps we are everywhere. You should tell us what we're not on.
Yeah, we're everywhere. So just whatever platform you listen to your podcast on, go onto it, search Between the Stripes LOI podcast, and you will most likely find us on that. Give us a follow. Those of you using iTunes, we'd really appreciate some subscriptions this week and some reviews as well. Helps us go up them iTunes charts and spread the name of the League of Ireland as far as possible. Some exciting cup games coming up this weekend. Make sure you get out and support your local sides, especially those of you in Longford. I know the game's on telly, but very important financially for the club that they get the backing for this big game against Cork. And hopefully on next week's show, we'll be speaking about a couple of upsets. Thanks to all of you that have tuned in, and we'll speak to you again next week.
Subscribe to Between the Stripes LOI podcast now on iTunes, Audio Boom, Mixcloud, Pocket Cast, or Podcast Republic, and never miss an episode. You can follow us on Twitter at Between Stripes, or like us on Facebook and Instagram by searching Between the Stripes. Add us on Snapchat. Our username is BTS1924. While for all the latest League of Ireland news and updates, you can visit betweenthestripes.ie. Until next week, thanks for listening.